Program. We told you that Nowata schools were on lockdown this morning, and we have additional information. Pistol magazine found on the floor of the football weight room this morning, and Nowata Police Department was notified and is on the site. Weight room and all the bags inside were searched. Nothing was found. Schools are still on lockdown at the high school and middle school while they continue to search lockers and bags just to be safe. School officials say be aware that while they are on lockdown, they cannot allow parents in the building at the high school or middle school. They thank you for your understanding and main concern at this point of time, of course, student safety. Schools will continue to post items to their Facebook page, and we'll keep you up to date as well on that lockdown at Nowata Schools. It is Capital Call this morning, brought to you by Phillips 66, and we have our two House members this morning, and we'll start with Representative Sears. Good morning, sir.
Well, first of all, Charlie, I was not aware of that, and I just heard that news that you just reported, and those are just so discouraging. You know, schools are just sacred grounds. There should never be a conversation or any fear of those kind of things at schools. That's just very unfortunate. My heart goes out to Nowata, and I'm sure it will all go well, and they'll take care of that particular issue and keep people out of any kind of harm's way. But it's just very discouraging that I hear that news for the first time this morning. Okay. Let me start our report with, first of all, greetings from Senator Daniels. She is not with us this morning and can't join us. She is meeting with a group of students at the high school, but she wanted me to convey to the listeners a big hello. I also want to apologize. I was not here last Friday, and the delegation took care of the radio show. I was finishing up a meeting. All three of us were at an educational meeting, but there was a couple of comments I wanted to finalize at that meeting, so I didn't get to report to the community last Friday. So let's go into a quick report.
Sure.
A lot of things going on. You really need to know is your state government. It's deadline week, and was this last week and the week coming up. Very simply, all bills that have come out of committee, it comes to the floor, and it's just we go on about 9 o'clock, say to 5-6 o'clock, and quite frankly, depending on how the debate goes or the day goes, we could be there as all the way up to midnight. I've spent numerous midnights in the Capitol on those kind of issues, but so far it's gone quite well, and the bills range from, you know, renaming a highway to changing a complete department head and developing a commissioner of health and for the state of Oklahoma and everything in between. And remember, Senator Ford used to always do a great job on this. Don't get too upset about things. This is the House side. Senate's doing their stuff, doing their work. And none of these bills are law. They're just alive and moving through the process, okay? So we got a lot of time to talk about particular issues. Some will make it and some won't, but it is the process. The other thing I want to report is, as you well know, the big news around the state is the teacher walkout.
I think we're about ready to possibly, depending on how things evolved, take West Virginia's place and maybe Arizona's place, because I think we have two more states, Oklahoma and Arizona, that will begin the process of walking out.
I hadn't heard about Arizona, but it's on everybody's radar screen, and I hope that we, the elected members of this great state, will come together and develop a plan. Right now, we really don't have a plan. The only thing we have out there is a income tax proposal that would reduce itemized deductions and some other things in the income tax plan, and it generates a significant amount of money, tune of about $160 million. And there's no question, we passed it in the House. It's alive in the Senate. Have no idea what the Senate will do. They're discussing that and talking about it. And that would be an immediate, I'm confident we would agree and soar those funds up to a teacher pay raise. It's right at $1,850, $1,900. And then some other. But that's really the only thing that's on the floor. Not on the floor, but that's in the pipeline, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we won't come up with a proposal, but to tell you that I can announce today we have a well-thought-out plan, I can't. But again, with this pressure from the outside of teachers talking about walking out and coming to the state capitol, that will generate us to have a more in-depth conversation. We had two proposals. Both of them failed. Everybody has their reasons, but it's a very, very interesting time at your state capitol. But that's kind of where we are.
Well, I'm going to at least ask about the OEA proposal or statement. I don't have it in front of me. I'm working from a story from the Associated Press. OEA President Alicia Priest said yesterday that teachers are planning that statewide stoppage April 2nd unless the state legislature raises salaries for the first time since 2008, yeah. And I'm reading the story verbatim. Priest says teachers demanding a $6,000 raise this year and $2,000 in each of the next two years. Comments?
I really appreciate that question because it's very unfortunate. There's no question my record has been very clear in regards to wanting to develop and implement a teacher pay raise and then voted on the proposals that would put those in place. And both of those have failed. And now we are where we are. Now then, we're talking about the walkout, and I wished OEA, their plan is, it's too costly. We cannot, will not come up with $1.4 billion. It's not only the $6,000 and then $2,000 the next year, it's money for to put into the classroom, et cetera, et cetera. I wish that they would have been a little bit more reasonable in their approach. There is no question we need a teacher pay raise, but and maybe they did it in regards to they think it'll be a good negotiating tool. But I can tell you right now, their package is extremely out of line, too high. We can't afford it, and even me that has voted on tax increases will not vote for $1.4 billion worth of taxes. I won't do that. We need to have targeted taxes. We had those targeted taxes. Hopefully we bring those back and continue to have a dialogue of how we can implement them. We on the Republican side have people you can look at and criticism. You have those that didn't vote for it, you can criticize, and then those that don't want tax increases can criticize me. But I always want to make sure all of our listeners know, never doubt, never forget that the Democrats were very, very instrumental in stopping those proposals as well. So hopefully we on the Republican side and the Democrats on their side just quit this posturing and literally, truly sit down and develop a compromise in regards to this funding issue that we have for public education. And I'd like to say this and let the representative make some comments wherever he wants to go. To me, it's more than just about the teacher pay raise. It's about making sure that our 650,000 students that are in classes as we speak today have quality teachers in those classrooms. I grow concerned daily. It's the pipeline. What do we have out there to encourage people to want to come into the career of teaching? We need to make that a career that we want people to take another look at. There is no question. If you're going to be an engineer, you're going to make more money. But if you want to go into public education, we need to make sure that there's a fair compensation package there for those that wanting to go into public education, or not go into public education, but make that a career. So that's my frustration in regards to we need to have the vision and look at the big picture of the future of encouraging people that want to come and stay in public education.
I think particularly, and I'll let it move on a little bit just to comment, I think there are certain jobs that are already difficult to get nationally, science, math, that sort of thing, particularly when we have a local employment opportunity just down the road here at a research center where people with degrees in chemistry, physics, biology, all could take that same degree and do more.
Right. And there's no question there is a need for science teachers, math teachers, special needs teachers, and quite frankly, my educator friends tell me that now then it's even that column has turned into elementary education. So again, there's a lot, I don't want to call it blame. You can point fingers, call it blame, call it what you want. The point is we need to sit down and develop a comprehensive plan that we can all agree to that rights the ship in regards to for the future of education in Oklahoma in regards to encouraging people wanting to come. And again, I want to reinforce the OEA plan. It's too large. It's too bold. There's probably a lot of compromise there, but it didn't help anything to come out with a $1.4 billion request from them. We should have stayed in the range where we were talking about the step-up plan and the other plans that we had. That's the area we should have been visiting about, but again, they have their strategy.
Okay. Representative Dunlap, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having us again. So I'll pick up kind of where we left off with Representative Sears. We had one of the things that we want to work on in addition to these other ideas that are out there and putting pressure on the Capitol is what we can do even without those. And so some of the things that we're working on mirror perhaps what was actually done in West Virginia as a means to get teachers relief. They were able to get those teachers relief without a tax increase. And so we want to continue to work on those at the same time that other groups and other interests want to work on the tax packages. And the reason I say that is primarily because State Question 640 makes it much more likely that a vote of the people is going to increase the taxes than the other mechanisms in that state question, the three-quarters majority. And so if there is a package that people can agree to, we'll vote on it, and that'll be good. But we should be working on both at the same time, and maybe if we're wanting to talk about some of those proposals, be ready to let the people vote on them come November.
I'm not disagreeing with you, sir, but we had a question from the vote of the people at the last election that did not pass and did not pass by a large margin.
Yeah, that mechanism perhaps wasn't what the voters wanted, but maybe they'd want another mechanism. So the point is, I think we should be working on both at the same time. And so there are at least some discussions going on about what that could be. I wanted to talk to you about some of the Bartlesville highlights in the House this week. We're working completely on the floor. All of our committee work for the first round of bills is done. There'll be some more committee work starting the week of spring, where most people are on spring break. But these next 2 weeks, we're going to finish all of the bills that originate in the House. And so that's we're very busy on the floor. One of the things I wanted to bring to our district's attention was the fact that we were able to help a ministry here through an amendment that was added to some legislation. And so many people, or many of your listeners, know about what's called the Hope Clinic that operates out in the Oak Park area. And they do free medical care. And they've recently added free dental care. And the way that they've added free dental care is that they had a donation of a very large vehicle. And the churches involved in that organization put up a lot of money to change that vehicle into a mobile dental clinic. Well, those are becoming very popular across the state, and some people are even operating those as essentially the entire dental service provider to a lot of people. So consequently, we needed to update the Dental Registry Act in order to make accommodations for that practice that's happening all over the state. And so in the Dentistry Act that we updated this week, we had a provision and a definition for including those into our dental regulation. However, there was no delineation that was separate for those who are operating those facilities as a completely free ministry to people and not charging Medicaid, not charging insurance or anything like that. And so once I found that in the law, I made sure to work with the author and get an amendment on there so we wouldn't be charging our Hope Clinic out here a big fee just to offer free services to people in the name of Christ and for the sake of the churches that want to provide that ministry. And so that was a fun thing to work on this week, and it was a good thing for this district, of course. I am not aware of other ministries like that in the state, but this, of course, would cover all people who would want to be doing something like that, all the churches that would want to be doing something like that. So that was a good thing to add onto that bill. Another proposal that got a lot of attention in the House this week was the proposal that was actually part of the Step Up plan, which is to make the governor's office a little bit more powerful. In Oklahoma, we have a weak governor model. This is especially true compared to other states. And the thing about a weak governor model in politics is that you elect a governor with expectations that the governor will be able to do some things to move the state in the direction that they have campaigned to want to move the state. However, when there are agencies, boards, and commissions, which we have in abundance in Oklahoma, who actually run some of these agencies, those agency boards and commissions are unelected. And consequently, if they are a barrier between getting things done by the people who are elected, they become essentially a roadblock for what the people have wanted and have chosen in their elected leaders. And so we made a vote this week in the House to make the board at the Department of Health an advisory board rather than a board that chooses the director and runs the organization. This is hopefully, the theory is that we're going to put more accountability on an elected official who has to answer to voters, rather than having that authority blocked in a board, which may have some very, very good expertise and may, in many cases, have been running these departments and organizations extremely well, but nonetheless are unaccountable to voters. And so we passed that measure in the House this week, and there may be more measures that follow dealing with other agencies and other boards that are running these agencies. And but I would it's an interesting situation to think through in terms of how do you want your government to operate. And we had some very good discussion on the House floor about it. But it ultimately, it failed the first time. We had some more discussion. It was brought up again, and then it passed. And so we'll see how it moves forward in the process. But more conversations like that are going to be had in the coming months and years, because we want to make the government efficient. We want to find those ways to make it accountable, where we're not having to bail out agencies for $30 million or more, and those sorts of things. So it was a very good and productive discussion that we had this week.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have several questions I'd love to ask you, but the clock is moving right along here. So I know, are you headed to any other public forums?
Well, we're going to the forum I'm going, I'm assuming, yep. Travis is going. I think Julie will be there as well. I guess we'll just close with Charlie again. It's always a pleasure to be here, and thank you, Phillip 66, for sponsoring our radio show.
That's right.
We'll see you next Friday.
Thank you.
That's Capital Call for today.
At Phillip 66, we think Pride might look a lot like our newly upgraded stations. Okay, that's kind of a clunky metaphor, but we're not in the metaphor business. We're in the gas business. And our performance gas will lift you up like the wings of a giant screaming eagle. Again, not a great metaphor. Anyway, our new station features a clean, new design and LED lighting, making it a mighty stallion of fuel and convenience. Sorry about that. Phillip 66. Proud to be here.
I see it all the time. They leave early in the morning and come back very late.
The curtains, they're always closed. And there's so many people living in that house.
I know. They look scared all the time.